chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, they are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Start. This is a photo of our church during the week. We had representatives from a whole bunch of different community groups that came here into the church during the week for 2 days of workshops with an organisation called Sydney Alliance. Now, Sydney Alliance is an organisation that's not connected to any one political party or religious group or any particular faction. But their goal is to bring justice, to bring equality. It was Sydney Alliance that forced our local state government to bring in cheaper concessions for asylum seekers on public transport. They're very big on seeking to get the government to provide affordable housing and across a whole range of different issues. So they asked to use our building for a 2-day workshop, and I had the pleasure of just welcoming them and was asked to just share something about our church. Now, remember, these were people who, the majority of them, were not from church or Christian backgrounds. So I told them a little bit about our church, that we were a diverse group of people, a small group of people committed to following Jesus. I told them that we'd recently changed our name, and I told them about our desire to be a place where the people around us can come and feel welcome and safe. I told them that we are hoping that through our lives together and as individuals that people will see Jesus. I also shared with them a bit about the different activities that we run, maybe 5 minutes, and then I was gone. During that day, I had a number of different people from that group come and seek me out, come to me and ask me lots of different questions about what we actually do, saying how much they felt like if they lived here, even though they didn't go to church, this sounded like the kind of church that they would want to be part of. That the values that I had said we as a church espoused was also the values that they tried to bring in. I felt like seeds were sown that day. There's been a couple of meetings that I'm now having, one with a gentleman from Parramatta who's trying to organise a meeting with John Alexander to talk about asylum seekers. And he's asked if there would be people from this church that would be willing to go to represent the Baptist churches to John Alexander. There was also another two women who I'm also going to be meeting with to talk about community engagement and what our church can be involved with. And so Pari is going to join me in going to those meetings. I'm hoping that the seeds that were sown that day will grow on to bear fruit, which is what we're talking about as we look at John 15. Last week, as Cameron managed, we saw that image of the vineyard that Jesus used to teach his disciples, a simple, everyday image that they could relate to. We had the image of God as the gardener, of Jesus, of God planting Jesus here in our world as the vine, and us as his disciples being the branches that grow out from him and spread his word. And we saw that through that relationship, that for us to have a relationship with God, it requires us to have an attachment to Jesus. That we can only know God through Jesus. That God's intention for the vine was to produce fruit through the branches, good fruit that's going to last. But we also learnt that not every branch will go on to produce this good fruit. The ones that don't are cut off by the gardener, while the ones that do, they're lovingly trimmed and nurtured so they can produce even more fruit. These are the branches that remain in Jesus. And that's the focus for today. So let's just pray and then we'll take up where we left off last week. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to sit here today and to be able to hear and learn from your words spoken so many years ago. Words that have been faithfully kept for us. Words that were spoken by you so that we could learn, so that we could become your disciples, so that we could go on to bear the fruit that you came so that we could bear. So I ask that you would enable me to speak faithfully this morning, and I would pray, Lord, that you would enable us to hear your voice through these words, that you would give us teachable hearts. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." What do you think it means, remain in me? Remain in Jesus. Well, the word remain means to stay. Or the old English word for it is to abide in. I like to think of it as to stay connected to. Here it's about relationship. It's about an intimate, an enduring relationship between the gardener, between the vine and the branches. Now there's already a relationship between the gardener and the vine, and you can read about that in John chapter 14 and 17. Where Jesus describes the relationship that he shares with his Father as being one. He says, "I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you know me, then you know my Father." It's in this relationship that is now opened up, that God now extends through Jesus out to the branches. It's a two-sided relationship. On the one side, you have Jesus who's committed to his followers, but on the other, his followers committed to him. And it's a covenant relationship. It's a relationship just like the one that God had with Israel. It's one of promise and commitment and accountability. And that's on both sides. See, this is the promise of God's presence and his care alongside our obedience and faithfulness. This is God the gardener, or the creator of us and our world, caring and nurturing what he's made, enabling it to be and to do what it was meant for. And here Jesus says, well, that's so that you can produce fruit and glorify God. Jesus says, if you remain or you stay connected to him, then he promises he will remain with you. But not only that, he says, you will produce much fruit. Do you notice he says, you will produce much fruit? He doesn't say, you might produce fruit. He doesn't say, you could. He says, you will. You will produce much fruit. The fruit of living out the values of the kingdom of God, of love and joy and peace and kindness and justice. The fruit of people learning the truth about Jesus through you. Them believing it enough to change their thinking and their life to follow in the words and the ways of Jesus. You will bear much fruit. You won't do it because you're clever. You won't do it because you're educated or passionate, although those are all good things. But you'll do it because you remain in Jesus. And when you remain in Jesus, his Spirit remains in you. The Holy Spirit provides you with the opportunities and enables you to be fruitful. This week, I had a number of different conversations with English class students down here in the shops at West Ryde and over at Rhodes. Just people that I randomly met in the shops. Those conversations, as well as the conversations that I had with the people from the Sydney Alliance workshops, these were opportunities that I don't believe are random. I see them as opportunities created by the Holy Spirit because I am choosing to remain in Jesus and his Spirit remains in me. So when I pray every day to have my eyes open to see the opportunities, I shouldn't be surprised when they're there in front of me. Opportunities to share Jesus simply by bringing him into contact with the people that I talk with. Opportunities for them to see Jesus through me, to see his heart for people who've been treated unjustly, to see his desire for all people to have enough, all people to be treated with respect and shown kindness and inclusion just like Jesus did. When we remain in Jesus, his Spirit remains in us and creates opportunities for us to share Jesus with others just in the course of our normal, everyday lives, whether that's at home, at work, at the shops. Just by being a branch that's connected to the vine. And you know, when we remain in Jesus, we can't help but bear fruit. But it only happens if we remain in Jesus. Because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, as I've been reading through these verses, it stood out to me that some branches won't remain in Jesus. Some branches won't stay connected. And it would seem that they do that because they're choosing not to remain. Jesus says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, it seems that branches have a choice about what they do. They can remain and stay connected to the vine or not. But Jesus says those who choose not to remain will lose their connection. They'll be thrown away like a useless branch and burned. It suggests that we get to choose how we respond to the care of the gardener. whether we accept his actions in our life or reject them. But either way, there is a consequence. See, if you choose not to remain, then Jesus says you can do nothing. You might exist, but you won't fulfill God's purpose for you. You won't know the joy and the peace and the contentment that comes through having a relationship with Jesus, and you won't produce good, lasting fruit. Now, I've been asked a number of times if this means that you can lose your salvation, if you can lose your relationship with Jesus, and I don't actually have the answer to that. See, these verses suggest that if you choose not to remain in Jesus, then yes, you can be cut off and lose your relationship with him. At the same time, there are other verses in the New Testament that will suggest that once you've been saved, you will always be saved. I want to say that these are questions that theologians and scholars have wrestled with for many years and continue to be divided over. But I think when we focus on that question, we actually miss the whole point. See, our Creator God is a God of justice. He is a God who loves humankind and who made us for relationship, who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us so we could enter into that relationship. Our God wants every person to be saved, every person to remain. So I don't see God the gardener standing there with the clippers waiting to cut off any branch that doesn't do well. What I see is a patient, kind, and generous God who is standing alongside the vine and the branches, doing everything he can to help them to grow and to be healthy and to be strong so that they can bear fruit. Jesus says it's only those who choose not to remain that are cut off. Only those who persist in not bearing good fruit. I've wrestled with this and sat with this all week, and the story that's come to my mind is the story that Jesus told in Luke 13. He said, a man planted a fig tree in his garden, and he came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there still hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. But the gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine, but if not, then you can cut it down. It's this image of God persevering, wanting us to bear fruit, wanting us to remain connected. And it's only after there's consistently been no fruit that the tree's cut down. It's only after it hasn't responded to all the care that's been given to it. Only after there's been no visible change, no fruit produced over a period of time, that it's removed, or as Jesus says, thrown away like a useless branch to wither. We don't like to talk about judgment, but it's something Jesus talked about consistently in his time on earth. We don't like to think of any branch being seen as useless and withered away. Yet Jesus talks about that. But I want to say that it doesn't have to be that way. Because if you choose to remain connected to Jesus, then you will enjoy the most amazing blessing. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. What an amazing promise. Ask for anything you want and you will get it. Imagine if Cameron or David said that to their kids. Ask me for anything you want and it's yours. I would hate to think if I'd said that to my kids. You know, I've heard people quote this verse asking God for some outrageous things like winning the lottery. Now, yes, God could cause you to win the lottery if he wanted to, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Notice that he says, but if you remain in me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask me for anything you want and it'll be granted. It's a promise, but it comes with two conditions. The first is that you remain in Jesus, that you stay connected to Jesus, just like a branch stays connected to the vine it grows out of. That you don't try and go your own way and be independent from the vine or the other branches that you belong to. And that you allow his spirit to be active in your life. That you allow his way to become yours, because that leads to the second condition. That his words remain in you. This is about the words and the ways of Jesus being so fixed in our minds that they just naturally lead to a conformity and obedience to the things of God. When his words remain in you, it's the words and the ways of Jesus that in us can't help us to follow him. They can't help but make us imitate him and bear his fruit. Our prayers, when his words remain in us, will naturally conform to the desires of God. His desires will become ours. So when he says, I will give you the desires of your heart, they'll be his desires too. You know, you can't remain in something if you don't know it, if you're not familiar with it. It's hard for Jesus' words to remain in you if you don't read them, if you don't study them. You know, my practice is to spend time with God every morning, and it's been that way for a very long time. Even when I had young children, I still made time every morning to spend with God, to talk with him and to read something from his words. Now, some of those mornings, that might have just been one verse. Other times, it might have been a chapter, sometimes more. But I always read something. And it's amazing how often God used that something to bless me through my day, how often he brought it to my mind, how often he used it to teach me something through my day or to give me peace about something, often patience with my kids. How often he brought it to my mind and gave me a word to then share with someone else, some encouragement or some comfort for someone else that came out of what I'd read that morning. About 5 years ago, I added another time of Bible reading to my day. The last thing before I go to sleep at night is I always read something from one of the Gospels. I systematically read through the four Gospels. Now again, that might just be one verse or it might be a whole chapter depending on how tired I am. But it means that I end my day with Jesus in my mind. Now I can't tell you how much of a difference that has made to how I live my life and how I see the world. Every day I read something from God's words and I pray and I ask God to let me see what he sees, to let me hear what he hears and feel what he feels. And he does. Now, I have to be honest and say I don't always like what I see or hear or feel. But I'm reminded that Jesus doesn't either. Because we live in a broken and a sad world that is very unlike what it was originally intended to be. And so often, things that I'm seeing and hearing and feeling will grieve my heart. And I'm reminded that they grieve God's heart also. But it's in this world that we live in that Jesus wants his followers to live and to branch out and make him known. So I want to ask you, do you make time to read God's words? Do you make time to think about them, to allow them to shape your life, your conversations? Because it's one thing to choose to remain in Jesus, but it's another thing for his words to remain in you. And you need to read them and know them if they're going to remain in you. I know as I say this that you're probably thinking, yeah, but I live such a busy life. And I have so many demands on my time. And to you, I would say that we all live busy lives. And we all have demands on our time. They might look different, but we all lead busy, demanding lives. So I want to actually take away that excuse. And I want to say that if you want to have a relationship with God that bears fruit, then you have to remain in Jesus. You have to stay connected to him. You have to know his words so they can influence your everyday life, so that you can see those opportunities that the Spirit puts in front of you, so that you can make decisions and prioritize things that are in line with God's desires and heart, so that you can respond to the people around you that God puts in your path in a way that will produce good, lasting fruit, just like you were meant to. Jesus says, when you do this, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. I love this verse. When you produce much fruit, not if, it's that promise from verse 5 again. If you choose to remain in Jesus, you will produce fruit. It will naturally happen. And because of that, you will reveal yourself to be a true disciple of Jesus. I wonder how many of us would describe ourselves as true disciples of Jesus. You know, this week I saw Irene producing fruit and being a true disciple of Jesus when she met with a woman who had approached our church seeking someone to talk with about Jesus. I saw Dorothy producing fruit when she opened her Bible to talk with someone last week to help them understand something from the sermon. I saw David Evans producing fruit on Tuesday when he came in and served Sydney Alliance, setting up the sound and the lights and showing them the way. I saw fruit produced through people from the community coming into our church space during the week and being exposed to Jesus. Now, I'm sure that many of you have also seen and been part of fruit being produced this week. And I want to encourage you to share that with people over at Morning Tea, because those stories encourage us and they remind us about how normal it is. The church for many years has put evangelism out here. It's made mission this extra thing, but it's not. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, it is part of our everyday normal life. So we need to share those stories and be encouraged, because it's something that we all can and should be doing. Because when we produce much fruit, That's when Jesus looks at us and he says, "You are my true disciple." It's when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think it's interesting that Jesus calls it my true disciple, as opposed to just my disciple. I think he's very intentional about that. Because we read that in Jesus' time, he had many followers. Yet we read that when the going got hard, they left. They left him. They weren't prepared to make sacrifices to follow Jesus. They weren't prepared to let go of their independence and control of their life. They wanted what Jesus had to offer them. It's why they were following him. But they weren't willing then to do what he asked. They weren't willing to remain. I would argue it is exactly the same today. There are so many people who call themselves Christian, but they're not really followers of Jesus. They're not true disciples. Now, they might think that because they believe in God or because they were raised in a Christian family, because they grew up in a Christian country or attended Sunday school as a child or got christened, or because they've decided to change their religion, that this makes them a Christian, that this makes them a true disciple. Now, I'm not the one to judge whether someone is or isn't a Christian. That's up to God. But I think when Jesus talks about true discipleship, he's thinking about those who not only believe the truth of who he is, but who also live differently because of it. Being a Christian is about so much more than belief. Jesus says that even the demons believe in who he is. So surely that isn't enough to make you a Christian. We need to be looking at our own lives and asking, am I someone that Jesus would describe as a true disciple? Does my life reflect my decision to believe and follow Jesus? Am I producing the fruit that comes from a relationship with Jesus? And I would argue, if you're not, if you can't say that yes, I am a true disciple, yes, my life does reflect my decision to believe and follow Jesus, yes, I am producing fruit, then I would suggest that you need to look at your life and see if you are remaining in Jesus, if you are remaining connected to the vine. As someone who loves gardening, I love this image of God as the gardener caring for what he has planted. This image of Jesus as this strong vine, and this beautiful image that it's not just one on its own, it's many branches together growing out from that vine. Us together embodying his love for others. Us together producing that abundant fruit. It's us together. But not even just this church, not even just Baptist churches, but all of the churches, all of the true disciples of Jesus, together producing fruit. Healthy branches look like the vine they're connected to. They're a reflection of the vine they belong to. So let me leave you with a few questions. When people look at us, do they see Jesus? Do they see the person that our lives flow out from, the person that we're attached to? Do they see his kindness, his compassion, his love, his grace and generosity when they look at us, when they interact with us?
Do they hear his heart for justice? His heart for righteousness, for right relationships when we speak with them? Do they know God's inclusion and his invitation into a better, more wonderful life in the kingdom of God when they spend time with us? When we embody his love in our community? Because when they do, well, then we can know that we are bringing great glory to Jesus and to his Father in heaven. Then we can know that we are seen as Jesus' true disciples, his people choosing to remain in him, following in his ways and words. I want to say that I don't think it gets much better than that. And I want to say that I love this foundation that God has given this church for us to do that. For us together to embody his love, to reveal and to reflect him and his ways and his invitation to the community around us. Let's just pray. Lord, it is such an honor and such a privilege that you would choose us to be your branches. That you would invite us with all our faults, with all our failings, to be your representatives, your agents in this world, your hands, your feet, your heart in this world, embodying your love so that people can see and know, can consider and understand who you are through us. Lord, help us to take seriously the need to remain in you, the need to remain connected to you, the need to remain in your words, reading your words every day, soaking in them, meditating on them, being challenged by them, and then living them out with people around us. Lord, we pray your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, and I would pray today that your kingdom will come here to this church, to this space, to this community, to this town of West Ryde, because we, your people, choose to be obedient and faithful and choose to remain in you and remain in your words. And so we pray your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in your holy and precious and powerful name. Amen.